Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
Today, I'm speaking with John Menard, who's the VP of Product Analytics at Experian Health. Why don't you kick it off, John, with telling us a bit about yourself, a little bit about Experian Health, and a bit about your role there.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about something I'm extremely passionate about. I'm John Menard, head of analytics with Experian Health for the past few years now. Prior to this, I spent about 13 years on the hospital provider side, doing many roles in the healthcare revenue cycles, focused primarily on process improvement, analytics, innovation, et cetera, for a large academic medical center in the Northeast. So it's definitely my passion. Experian Health itself serves as an administrative backbone for thousands of healthcare providers across the country for more than 25 years now. Our mission's straightforward. We simplify healthcare. So we provide products that help providers operate more quickly, smoothly, efficiently across kind of the full continuum of the healthcare revenue cycle journey. Surprisingly, we serve more than 60% of U.S. hospitals in this capacity, more than 7,700 medical practices, labs, pharmacies, and the like. And we're also a part of Experian, the global information services company, and that gives us a breadth of resources from across our entire enterprise to bring many innovative solutions into the healthcare industry. And it's this scale. It ranges from the amount and types of data we offer to solutions that empower our clients to make smarter business decisions, deliver better bottom line, all while establishing stronger patient relationships and better experiences, which is more important than ever in the healthcare industry with the growing consumerism and consumer expectations that are coming to our side from other industries.
And so, you know, you mentioned there a bit about optimizing and helping build better relationships. How do you see AI fitting into what you're doing with a lot of these healthcare organizations?
The clinical side has really moved faster to adoption, but we believe that there's a huge potential on the operations side of healthcare. There are many repetitive, tedious tasks, large amounts of data that's already collected, mostly structured and standardized, and that can be organized and analyzed with AI to help improve efficiency and accuracy. You know, you're talking about impacts from a financial perspective. The wider adoption of AI in this way could lead to 5 to 10% in total U.S. healthcare spending. That's roughly $20 to $360 billion annually within the next 5 years, and that's kind of according to recent paper by the National Bureau of Economic Research. So if a third of all healthcare costs are associated with administrative tasks, that's why we committed to it, Experian Health, and innovated to develop an AI platform that will be the basis of many products with our first launch in the market, recently focused just on the improving the claims process. And choosing that focus for us and for our product called AI Vantage because processing claims was listed as one of the top most significant contributors to wasted healthcare dollars in the U.S. Some were estimates, I think it was a Humana study that puts it at like $265 billion. And it's even supported by our own surveys, Experian end of last year, with some healthcare executives showed that a third of them say denials are increasing at a rate of 10 to 15%, with the average denial rate already above 11%. That's 1 in 10 patients potentially having to really deal with the uncertainty of who the burden of that healthcare expense falls to when they should be focusing on wellness. So that's where we see Experian Health being able to lean in and drive some value and some change in the healthcare company and industry with AI.
So you mentioned there a little bit about how, you know, there's greater adoption on the clinical side right now. Why do you think that on the operational side or the administrative side, that area is lagging behind clinical adoption? And what do you think some of the challenges are on that side in improving some adoption in that space to reap some of these economic benefits?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andrew. I think it's safe to categorize like the start of 2023 in general as bringing about a wave of AI advancement. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of headlines, social chatter, seminars on the topic. We hear daily about the launches of new AI solutions across industries, and healthcare is no different. And like you said, healthcare in general has seen AI adoption primarily led by the clinical side, but we're starting to see signs of shifts in that approach. More priority in funding is being directed to reducing the administrative and operational burdens. I think specifically for the healthcare revenue cycle space, it's just starting to gain momentum, but there's definitely some skepticism due to early offerings not really meeting expectations. So the challenge is that we are in this very important early phase of really educating and aligning our subset of the industry on establishing healthy expectations of AI, identifying the critical and urgent jobs to be done, but also where is AI as one tool best suited or not best suited to being able to kind of deliver value. And you mentioned, you know, what are some of the challenges? There are some universal truths, like general resistance of something new. Now, it requires learning new skill sets, ways of doing business. I mean, it even takes personal vulnerability by those leading the change charge, those choosing to take risk in what is a heavily risk-averse culture. So that takes a certain sense of culture and courage, and the ability to take on the big task is one of the challenges. That's the big one. That one spans industries. Just like other industries, we have the other issues. You know, data integrity, regulations, ethics, and costs are a few that impede adoption. For healthcare, that last one weighs as one of the heaviest. Right? Recent surveys, the one by Intel, the biggest barrier to AI adoption was actually cost in healthcare specifically. It's not just a matter of implementing the technology, the solution, but also maintaining it on a yearly basis with talent. And organizations are going to have to recruit an AI competent workforce. Similar study by KPMG found the same. The high cost and lack of workforce talent were the biggest barriers to adoption of AI in the industry. And this is particularly a more challenging barrier to healthcare because anywhere from 53 to 68% of the nation's hospitals will be operating in the red, according to some industry projections by the AHA. So they just can't compete with the salary pressures that other industries, you know, can with razor thin operating margins, if they're even positive.
So do you think that there's some way that the vendors can help address that cost issue? I mean, is it sort of embedding AI into existing products, or, you know, the evolution of sort of low code, no code type technologies? Do you think that that's going to help with the skills and cost challenges?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think it's one of the strong suggestions is that providers should look to explore and compare different partners and vendors to make the right choices for them specifically. Vendors have the economy of scale and the economy of data, the economy of hard lessons learned to be able to apply those lessons across broader markets than individual providers trying to tackle some of these pain points themselves. And I do see it becoming necessary for vendors specifically to embed their AI directly into the points of interactions they already have established, if they're a longstanding vendor with providers, in order to drive a different style of work. It's no longer about exception-based work. It's about how do you drive insights earlier into the process to avoid the need for the work in the first place. How are you getting more predictive? How are you taking probabilities? How are you using data at scale to drive insights, to build decision engines, and let AI do what it does best with a human loop kind of augmentation that becomes the exception versus the norm like current state?
Yeah, and you know, you also mentioned a bit about data integrity and data quality. And do you think that providers can open up not just insights by bringing together different sources of data, but also potentially open up new revenue streams once they've sort of integrated data from all different sources to help sort of offset some of the cost of of doing these initiatives?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think it's actually a partnership between providers and their vendors. Data is helping every industry become more efficient and productive. Healthcare should be no exception. There is a mounting pressure for healthcare organizations to deliver better outcomes while minimizing operational costs. You know, the do more with less and do it better than ever before. We, like Experian Health, we have health data spanning eligibility and benefits, address, identity, claims, remits, payments. You take that, you couple it with the insights we have on 300 plus million consumers, 126 million households. We're able to offer providers one of the most holistic views of today's healthcare consumer. That's where it gets really exciting when you think about partnering with providers and augmenting those kinds of capabilities with more of the electronic health record capabilities, more of the medical insights that they have in their systems to be able to drive a different style of care. In the value-based care model, it's about costs, right? In the fee-for-service, it's about costs. When as we move towards value-based, it's about prevention, that's an exciting path for healthcare to kind of mature towards, and it's going to take data assets outside of what providers currently have and merging all those disparate data assets into one place and towards one common purpose will also unlock brand new value opportunities that haven't existed before.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can, like you just said there, fee for service to prevention, right? So I guess pulling together all these different data sources can actually lead to keeping people from getting sick in the first place, right? With proactive intervention, right? Do you see us being, how far away do you think that is in your crystal ball? Do you think that's a short term, or do you think it's a near term, or do you think it's going to take some time? Will we have sort of fast movers in that space? How do you see that shaping up?
Putting on my tinfoil hat, I'd say it's probably in that 2 to 4 year range. These assets all exist. There are other industries that are doing this, and Experience Global is one of the leading in the world at it, that we're really starting to bend the maturity, the data maturity curve, the data adoption curve, to be able to understand fit-for-purpose data and the ability to merge these things. So I think we're very close, and that becomes exciting on the revenue cycle side, at being able to reallocate some of that cost that goes from there and funnel it back into letting providers, you know, do what they're supposed to do, provide care versus trying to collect for the care that's provided. And I think that you're seeing early signs in some more of the capitation style states that are doing really exciting things to help with care, prevention, and overall wellness.
And so do you see, you know, on the operational side, do you see some prime areas for greater adoption or some key use cases where, you know, the industry should be moving on first as opposed to other use cases? Or do you think it's more an organization by organization approach?
I think there are some key areas. I know we talked about claims denials as one. First, you got to get paid for the services that you're providing. And I think when you really focus in on that problem as one of the most urgent jobs to be done, that unlocks the safety and the potential to be able to explore different areas. I think healthcare started on the revenue cycle side. A lot of our adoption was really in the robotic process automation front. And I think what comes next is that acts as a nice springboard to inject more smart process automation capabilities into those. How are we making those automations more robust, less onerous, less costly to maintain, especially in an ever-changing environment like healthcare, with regulation pressures and pressures from other industries leaning in on us? So I think that's one of the areas that I see us being able to make some strides in the industry.
So moving on to you know, sort of more recent events, how do you foresee, this is the $100,000 or $1 million question, how do you see generative AI making an impact on the industry?
Certainly, like most industries, using something like, you know, a ChatGPT can be just as beneficial for healthcare too, and can help with that patient interfacing, the patient engagement, you know, such as answering patient queries, providing relevant information, assisting in scheduling appointments, managing reminders so that patients show up where they're supposed to show up to receive the care that they're scheduled to. Experian Health is very much focused on that inpatient engagement front, what we call the digital front door, to help providers with tasks that can be conducted online in advance remotely. And AI is absolutely a part of that mix, generative AI specifically. And the adoption is important because that's what patients expect. They expect those digital options, especially when they're seeing hundreds of apps hitting the market. It starts to build the expectation of what service looks like from outside markets into our own. And even when we do our own study, it was called the State of Patient Access among providers and consumers about their perceptions. The results show that both providers and patients, they want access to functions such as scheduling and registration that are streamlined and efficient. But unfortunately, they also agree that digital services in the healthcare space are not improving. When asked if the experience of accessing healthcare is better or worse since the prior year, only 17% of patient surveys said it was better. 27% agree. So that's a small subset of the population that feels that digital services are getting better for them. And that's only going to grow as they get more and more services from other industries and building more of that consumer experience and expectation.
And how do you see generative AI rolling out in the industry? Do you think, you know, it'll be internally facing at first and then perhaps patient facing, or do you think these things will happen in parallel?
I do think, we mentioned it a little bit before, healthcare is a risk-averse industry. So I do think there will be a crawl, walk, run approach, starting internally, being able to screen test some of these capabilities safely inside to improve efficiency before it goes and it's released more externally. I think healthcare, in specific on the revenue side, some of the most important digital services for patients in order to have a positive experience include being able to schedule appointments online or via mobile devices, having an online mobile option for payments, and probably more digital options for managing just healthcare in general. So I would anticipate that those become the first venues where we really move away from the internal and try to expose some of these capabilities consumer facing.
And what do you think about, you know, some of the privacy issues or concerns that have been raised since, you know, ChatGPT-3 went public? You know, what are your thoughts on that, and how can, you know, organizations, healthcare organizations and vendors like yourself work towards addressing some of those concerns?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think those become the primary reason for the crawl, walk, run. Experian does safety first in all we do. So we will be very safe and secure stewards of that data, making sure that in any capacity that these capabilities are developed and released, that it's done with the utmost of security at the forefront. So I do think in healthcare that slows down our adoption and our speed to market compared to other industries that can move faster. But as we sit, we watch, we let others learn from their own mistakes, we get the benefit of second entrance in the sense of, in the healthcare side at least, of being able to learn from the experts that have gone and done it without risking or taking on that risk of being the first to sprint towards the finish line. So being responsible first. And I think that's going to be a trend across quite most of the industry, on both the provider side as well as the vendor side, is making sure that all the data security concerns are shored up and that any activity we engage in is compliant with current industry security standards. And that'll take some time to really sort out.
Do you see generative AI helping to bringing together some of those disparate data sources and allowing users to generate insights from across the data landscape, so to speak, using an easy to use plain English interface rather than, you know, so potentially freeing up a lot of insights through an easy to use chat interface.
I think it'll actually work in a roundabout way. As more and more industries use those interfaces, I think trust in the capabilities will translate into kind of the key stakeholders on the healthcare side. And as they learn to trust the power of big data, the power of bringing these data assets together, I think the permissible use and the permissioning rights will be embraced. The ability to make large impact via these pathways in other industries is probably what's going to unlock it in the healthcare industry. As we watch other first actors do great things with the capabilities, I think the capabilities themselves directly, being able to use low code, no code, and generative solutions will make it faster, easier, and cheaper to develop these solutions, which will definitely help with speed to market and competitiveness and our ability to also generate more solutions at scale to drive more and more solutions as we solve for the biggest jobs to be done. We get to move on to the next and the next and the next. And I see that being one of the, for me personally, one of the exciting things, right? We're very excited about the potential of AI and our innovation in Experian Health. That's why we built the AI Advantage platform. It's to launch other products in the future to solve other issues throughout the healthcare journey. And it's when we start stringing these incremental capabilities together, the sum of the parts become greater than the whole. The insights, the intervention, the optimization points multiply, and we can really impact operations more holistically through prediction and prevention. We talked a little bit earlier about automation adoption in healthcare. And to me, the best form of automation of a process is to eliminate the need for it in the first place. And that's kind of what we're talking about as we can roll more and more things and we get more and more trust and adoption in the industry, is bringing that to bear and making a serious difference.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think as you mentioned before, you know, hospitals are under a lot of revenue pressure, right? And I know here in the UK, for example, you know, with the NHS, they talk a lot about, you know, employee burnout because, you know, they're overloaded with work. And so do you see, you know, I know that there's not much budget, but do you think healthcare organizations will find a way to make these investments that will ultimately, you know, bring about greater efficiency and address some of the staffing concerns?
I don't really see there being a big choice as we progress in the current environment. Providers need to make sure staff see the benefits of what this technology can bring. And they also have to make sure that they're training them. They're giving them the proper training on how to embrace these capabilities. They do not replace your job. They augment you to do more, or they allow you to focus on doing the right thing, not the right thing that needs their specific level of expertise. I think that all comes back in the healthcare industry to being able to measure those improvements. On the operation side, I'm very confident that staff can be shown the ROI. Watch it come in the form of reducing that administrative burden. They're the ones doing that burden. So they're the ones that are going to feel it. They're going to feel that their job is more value added, that they're focused on higher priority stuff, that they're making a difference. You think about healthcare, it's a care industry. It's what most people that work are there for, is to be able to help and provide that care in whatever way their skills allow. And I think that being more transparent and being able to show that ROI, it's going to have several benefits that they can measure. Seeing more patients, spending more time with patients on the back end, recouping more dollars, seeing more of their activities result in positive outcomes. If that's, you know, a thank you from a patient for their help, you know, that's improving the net promoter scores as patient financial experiences get better. I think that will drive staffing satisfaction, and we'll see less of the turnover of these highly skilled resources to either adjacent industries or the choice to leave the job market in general.
So do you think we need more proof of concept projects around AI in the industry, or do you think that, you know, that senior management in the healthcare organizations sort of recognize the potential return on these investments, or are we still sort of in that POC phase?
I think we're in the POC phase. If the POC provides the burden of proof that these executives, they don't have the ability to take gambles or to take really big risks if they're already in the red, or if they're operating on a 3% margin, they have to be very certain about where they invest their budget. Where are they trying to assign their limited funds to being able to drive the most value? I think a POC approach, and that was at the core of what we released with AI Advantage. We can show a client how the model is going to act on their data before they make a purchase decision. This is the value we can very directly give you. If this is the total opportunity, this is the expected ROI. Here's how early adopters are seeing. And when we apply that to your actual data, this is what it translates to you. It takes the risk out of it. And I think you can't do that without the proof of concept, that there are too many competing priorities for someone, especially in the revenue cycle, that they need to be laser focused and very confident in their decision making, and that's what makes that possible.
So in the revenue management space, where do you think we'll be in 12 months?
In 12 months, I think we start making the bend towards adoption. We get external pressures and internal acceptance of what's really possible. As early adopters and the first out of the gate really start showing what they're able to do, what the benefits are. Healthcare is, and revenue cycle is very much an industry of, great, who's currently doing this and how's it working for them, for this, the points that we spoke to before. So as those first adopters really, really show what it is that's possible, you'll have the second entrants that come in and start embracing these solutions more and more, become cyclical in the sense that when someone gets that first major win using AI, they see the value, they can prove the ROI, they can defend the spend, they'll come back, they'll do it again, get the same benefits, get the same rewards, come back, do it again. And in the end, it's everyone that benefits. Right? This is why our mission is we simplify healthcare. If we can simplify it on a small scale, you add up all those small scale wins and you're able to bend the cost curve of healthcare in the US, you're allowing these institutions to reinvest their, you know, most of which are not for profit, but for them to be able to reinvest their assets into capital to push new clinical capabilities, to push new clinical investment in the machines that will allow more advanced care. I think that's an exciting future, and something that in the next 12 months we really start to see the culture and the adoption and acceptance of these capabilities to start driving and clearing the path for that kind of an outcome.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for coming to join us today, John. It was great hearing your insights.
Thank you very much, Andrew. I've appreciated the time and attention of both you and your audience.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at aibusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.